Okay, page 1018, 1018 Shvi Pasuk Yutes. The last thing we're learning about slaves, which if you send the Jewish slave away, you have to give him severance pay, and that's the source of severance pay today. Okay, there's like this. Kol HaBechor, all firstborn animals, okay, Asher Yivale B'Vkarcho V'Tzein Chazachar, that will be born in your cattle, a male, because the din of B'Chor is only on a male, like we know. Tagdish L'Hashem Alekacho, you should sanctify to Hashem. L'Yisavi B'Vchor Sherecho, you're not allowed to, because Mamash HaKorb, that's brought on the Mizbeach. L'Yisavi B'Vchor Sherecho, you're not allowed to do work with it. V'Loisa Goyiz B'Vchor Tzinecho, and you're allowed to shear the wool of your firstborn sheep, if it's a bechor. So the din is like this. A firstborn animal belongs to the kohen, okay? But it's brought as a korban, but the meat of the kohen and all the rest of the kohen, besides what's burnt on the mizbeach, belongs to the kohen. What?
If the animal was pregnant before, they could bring it?
What do you mean?
Pregnant.
I know what pregnant is. You mean, can they sacrifice the pregnant? Yeah, sure. If somebody, b'chla, was makdish an animal to the base of English, they were pregnant, they shechted it, yeah. Yeah. By the way, the red heifer, you know, there was a red heifer in New Jersey, part of Duma.
Yeah, it was pregnant.
It became disqualified.
Yeah. Why?
Because it became pregnant, which means a male was with it, and if a male was with it, it's not kosher anymore for part of Duma. So the guy lost all his money. Somebody was offering him $1 million for it, by the way. And he put it down, he declined it. He said, it's going to be when Mashiach comes. But now it's pregnant, so it's from a black cow.
Does it have to be a he or a she, the cow?
Pora, female. No, a pchor, though, is a male. Pora Duma has to be female.
Pora Duma has to be female.
Yeah. Rashi says in Chukas, from the Medrash, that when a kid makes a mess, who cleans it up? Not the father. The mother cleans it up. So they made the mess with the eagle. So the Medrash says, bring a potter to clean up the mess of the baby calf, the eagle, that they worshipped. That's what Rashi calls in Chumash, from the Medrash on Chumash.
So, but in this case, for the korbanot, it doesn't matter if it's a pregnant or not?
No, doesn't matter.
Okay, so what do you do?
Well, a lot of them, the kibbutz, yeah.
So what do you do with the baby? You
shecht
also the baby?
Which one? Well, okay, let's leave that out. Let's not get way off topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Rashi asked a question like this. All the Mefarshim really asked the question. In Parshas B'chukosai, it says, lo yakdish eisei. You don't have to make it holy because it's self-holy. So why over here does the Pasuk say, tagdish l'Hashem alokecha, l'cheir it's automatically holy, because it's firstborn, why do you have the Torah say? So Rashi says, "Ein makdish lekob nacher." Okay, in other words, one interpretation is "Tagdish Hashem alakecha" means you cannot make it a different korban. What happens? This bechor is born a bechor, and you say, "You know what? It's an shlomim ola or a different type of a korban." The Torah says, "No, tagdish. Yes, it's born holy, but it has to be sanctified as a bechor." So it says. If you do, by the way, you have to give that money to the Beis HaMikdash, but the Bechor still stays holy. Bottom line is the Bechor stays holy. Okay, so he says like this. one opinion in the Gemara, by the way, it says, what does it mean, Takdish L'Hashem Alekecho? That even though the Bechor is born holy, you still need to say it's Hegdish. You still need to Tagdish, you have to sanctify it. It's not automatically done. And then the Torah says like this: Leisavid b'chor shirachin ala to work with it, and but the Gemara says that even the reverse is also forbidden. The Torah says you can't work with your ox and you can't shear the wool of the sheep, but it means you can't work with the sheep either, and you can't shear the wool of the ox if there is any. It just normally an ox you work with. And a sheep, you shear the wool. So that's what the Torah is speaking about. Okay, now, there's a whole interesting question, in fact, even about the milking of a bechor. It's difficult because it's a male, but really, talk about if the... Well, that's not only about the bechor, about bechlal, about any other animal. if you can milk an animal that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, if you're allowed to milk it or not, and the halacha is you can milk it, but you can't use the milk, because the milk belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, yeah.
The Beis HaMikdash can't sell it for money or anything? No.
Okay. You have to eat it before in the presence of Hashem, shana b'shana, year by year, meaning, what happens, because if you see in the Siddur, in davening, right before Hoidu, it says like this, Abuchar Nechol HaKoyhanim, here, it's eaten for 2 days and a night. Okay? The Shnei Yom and V'layla Echot. The Korm B'chor, after you bring it as a Korm, you can eat it for 2 days and a night. So the question, what does it mean, Shana B'Shana? Year by year. So the Gemara says, if you shechted it the last day of the year, and you can eat it for 2 days, so you can eat it this year and next year. Erev Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. So the Torah says, Shana B'Shana, that even though it's going to be the new year, but therefore it's only eaten for 2 days and one night. Like most of the other korbanos. So the Kohen, when they, in other words like this, if a Yisrael gave birth to a b'chor, it had to go be given to the Kohen. The Kohen wasn't allowed to just take it, shecht it, and eat it. The Kohen had to bring it as a korban, as a sacrifice. Who kept it? The b'chor nechal l'kohanim, like we say, the b'chor is eaten by the kohanim. But by the way, it could be eaten by female kohanim, it could be eaten by his children, it doesn't have to be, huh?
Servants?
No. It has to be eaten by the kohanim only, but it's not eaten by anybody else. But in other words, it's given by the Yisrael to the kohen. But again, you have the interesting halacha. What happens? There's something we learned before in the previous times about what's called Toivas Hanoh. In other words, like this, a Jew has to give gifts to the Kohen and to the Levi, right? You have to give Truma to the Kohenim, Maisa to the Levium, the different parts of the animal go to the Kohenim, the firstborn animals go to the Kohenim. But I have the right to give it to the Kohen of my choice. I mean, if you're a Kohen, you're a Kohen, I can give it to you, I don't have to give it to him. It's not mine, but the Torah says, Toves Hano, I have the benefit of the opportunity to give it to the Kohen or Levi of my choice. So the halacha is, what happens if you're a Kohen? I normally would give it to this Kohen. And you come to my house and grab away the firstborn animal. You say, listen, it belongs to the Kohen. I'm also a Kohen. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, it's an argument in the Gemara, if what's called Toivas Hanoh, if that right that I have to give it to the Kohen of my choice, is that tangible value? Is it monetary value? Or is it not? So the bottom line is, even though you're not allowed to do it, the Kohen's not allowed to grab the animal, but if he grabs it, it's his. The only thing the Kohen has to pay me, according to the opinion that says Toivas Hanoh is worth money, so he has to pay money. That little few dollars, whatever it is. But the Kohen gets it because legally it's not mine, it belongs to the Kohen. The Torah says, I have the ability to give it to the Kohen of my choice. Okay. Now, what happens if the animal became blemished? The animal became lame or blind. Any negative blemish, then you can't bring it as a korban. Because the din, you cannot bring a blemished animal as a sacrifice. So, in fact, what do they do today in Israel? It's very interesting. Today in Eretz Yisrael, the din of b'chor still applies. Or even for a Jew outside of Eretz Yisrael, b'chor is not only in Eretz Yisrael. Today, a farmer in Eretz Yisrael has cattle. Yeah? What do they do when an animal gives birth to a firstborn animal? It's holy. It's sanctified automatically from Hashem. So the din is, you have to let it out to pasture, you have to let it graze until it gets a blemish. And when it gets a blemish, then like it says, Bishad, then it loses its kedusha, and then you could shecht it, you could eat it, and that's it. Then it belongs to you.
What about if your coin goes there?
One second, but what's interesting over here is like this. There's a rule in the Torah. Remember we were discussing, sometimes it's klal prat, sometimes prat uklal. We say it in Rabbi Shmuel. Sometimes klal uprat uklal. Yeah? So if you look at this Pasuk Choval says like this. If it will have a blemish, that means a general any blemish. Then the Torah says which ones? Piseach aiver, crippled or blind. And then again the Torah says kol mumra, any blemish. It says klal upratu klal. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha? It has to be similar to the prat. What does that mean? It has to be a visual blemish. Just like blind and crippled are visual. They're visual, you can see it. So the same thing, a blemish has to be a visual blemish. But if let's say this Bukhar gets an internal intestine wound, it still maintains its Kedushim. It still maintains the Kedushim. Okay, so then the Torah says like this. Leit b'sharecha techlenu, you can eat it in your gates. Atame v'ator yachtov, the pure and the impure can eat it together. Katzvivecha ayol, just like a deer, which is a kosher animal, or a hart, or a ram. Those could also be, in other words, it loses its opportunity, it loses its ability to be a carbon. Now, 1 minute. The difference is like this. This is also what the Gemara learns out. A normal animal of Hegdish, let's say I sanctified an animal, and the animal gets a blemish, so I can't bring it as a sacrifice. So what do I have to do? I have to redeem it. In order that animal should become non-sacred, non-Hegdish, I need to redeem the animal. Bchor the din is, you don't have to. The Torah says clearly, once it has a blemish, it's not holy anymore. It's the Kohen's, it's Yisrael's possession. It doesn't even go to the Kohen. But you have to have experts in the din of Bchor. What they were doing in Eretz Yisrael for a while, and many people were against it because of Tzar Bali Chaim, what do you do if an animal has a blemish? You're going to let it pasture for, you can't do anything with it. It's holy. You can't use the milk. You can't shear the wool. It's a holy thing. So what they used to do, or some people did, they would put it into a very small pen, small cage, full of barbed wire. And the animal would eventually blemish itself. And then it became usable. But that's forbidden because it's Tzar Bali Chaim. It's torturing animals. You're not allowed to do it. But this is what they do. Okay. You can eat it right away. Even a kohen doesn't have to eat it. Anybody could eat it once it has the blemish. And that's why the Torah likens it to a deer and a ayol, a hart, a ram, because just like that's edible for everybody. And even not a kohen, everybody is allowed to eat it. But rakas domei le'sechel, but you're not allowed to eat the blood of it. I would think because of chor is shechted, you can eat it without redeeming it or any. But the Torah says the blood is still forbidden. Ala ardes tishpechenu kamoyim. You have to pour it on the ground, like we know. The blood is forbidden to eat. Okay, you can or drink whatever it is. Okay, this is more practical. Let's go, next page, 1020.
I have a question. Did you say that if it has a blemish, internal blemish, it's still the...
Well, not for a carbon, but it doesn't lose its... and it doesn't get healthy from... It remains a blemish, yeah.
So internal is still is a blemish?
Yes. Okay, Shemar is Chodesh Aviv. This is very practical and very interesting. You should observe the month of the spring, Vasisa Pesach Lashem Alakecha, you should make the Pesach offering to Hashem. By the way, again, Pesach over here does not mean the Yom Tov. We mentioned before, the Torah never calls the holiday Pesach. The name of the holiday in Torah is Chag HaMatzis. The Korban is called Pesach. When the Torah says Vasisa Pesach, okay, even in English it's defined Pesach Korban. The Pesach does not mean the Yom Tov, it means the Korban. Why I just say the Kibbe Chodesh Aviv, why should it be celebrated in the spring? Kibbe Chodesh Aviv, Etziach Hashem Elokech Mitzrayim, God took you out of Egypt, loyal at night. Now, what does it mean, watch, observe the month of spring? What are you observing? So the Gemara says what it actually means is, this is the whole concept, by the way, of the leap year. This is really the source of the Jewish leap year. Because in Parshas Vay, when the Torah speaks about a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Resh Chodashim, that Nisan is the first of the months, it doesn't speak at all about the leap year. The Gemara learns out the dinam of the leap year from this. Pesach has to be, Nisan has to be what's called Chodesh Aviv. Now, just to explain it very briefly, you know, we learned it at much greater length. Lahavdol, if you keep the Muslim lunar calendar, you'll understand it very easily. The solar calendar that the Goyim go by, the solar calendar, is 365 days in a quarter. The lunar year, which is not really a year, but the lunar calendar has 354 days in the year. Okay? The solar calendar has 365 and a quarter days in a year, and the lunar calendar has 354 days in a year. You're missing 11 days a month, a year. Okay? So after 5 years, if you just kept the system straight, at the end of 5 years, you're going to be 55 days off. At the end of 10 years, you're going to be 110 days off.
Younger or older?
Younger. Which means that Pesach will fall out in the winter. But the Torah says it has to be Chodesh Aviv. It has to be in the spring. How do you make sure, Shamar, guard, meaning keep, the month of Aviv? This is the mitzvah in the Torah, that the Torah says Beis Din needs to figure out when a leap year should be. So what do we do to rectify this 11-day-a-year loss? We have, every so often, we have what's called a leap year, in the Jewish leap year. We add a whole month of Adar, and we add it at the end, because in order for Nisan to be in the spring, so you go by Adar. The Gemara, in fact, why don't we make another leap year? The Gemara asks. The bottom line is, the month of Adar, every so often, Beis Din figures out, you need to have a leap year. It depends on the crop. It depends on the kufis and the seasons. There's a lot of things that render Beis Din would have to sit down. And sometimes, now we have it a system. In our calendar, which was set up by the grandson of Hillel, that they really didn't use until the time of the Gemara, because they were still figuring it out, even according to many poskim, even in the time of the Gemara, they were still doing it with the witnesses and testifying in the moon and all that. But Hillel's grandson made a calendar for the rest of time. And it's basically a 19-year cycled calendar. It's a 19-year cycle. Now, the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, that in this 19-year cycle, there are 12 regular years and 7 leap years. And the Rambam says which years exactly are the leap years, which years are the regular years. This is all set up in the system. At the end of 19 years, the solar and the lunar calendar are completely equal.
Synced.
They're synced. That's why some people it doesn't work though. Some people say every 19 years your Hebrew birthday and English birthday is going to be the same day. Since I'm born, I think it happened once, and I'm not 19. But it depends, because Kislev and Tevis, sometimes each Cheshvan and Kislev, sometimes both at 29, so 30, whatever, the whole system. But in the time of the Gemara, when that didn't work with calendars, so how did they know when the moon was? Witnesses came to testify they saw the moon. Bezdin proclaimed that day Rosh Chodesh. It could be after 29 days, after 30 days. But the bottom line was the lunar calendar is much less than the solar calendar by 11 days. So the Torah says, Shamar Rosh Chodesh Aviv. You need to make sure it happens in the spring. And Hashem says, why? And he says, Ki b'chodesh aviv, because Hashem took you out in the spring out of Mitzrayim. Now, why did Hashem take the Jews out of Mitzrayim during the spring? Because it's the best weather. Not too hot, not too cold. This is what it says. The Medrash says Hashem did a favor to the Jews. I took you out in the springtime when it's beautiful weather. Therefore, Hashem says, Pesach must be in the spring. Yeah, but this is another question. Because here it says, Yitziach Hashem lakachem Mitzrayim loyla. What does the Pasuk say? God took us out at night. Yeah, but if you look in the Chumash, Hashem. The Jews went during the day. So all the Gemara asks the question, in fact, how could it be that in Mitzrayim Laila, yeah, it's in the Medrash, Rashi says, Halei b'yayim yotzu, so it says, Mimachas ha-Pesach, the day after the Korban Pesach, they went out of Egypt, which was the 15th during the day. So it says, because party at night gave them permission to go, when God killed the firstborn, Pari got up, he was also firstborn. And right away he said, where's Moshe? Get out. Right? So he threw him out at night. They didn't actually leave, you know, until the Jews get together. It was 2 million people living in Egypt, schlepping the kids and the babies. And you know, there was a miracle they left within a day. Load up the donkeys. I mean, it was...
All of those jewelry.
What? It's a miracle they left. There would be some people on the show, they'd still be in Egypt. They would still be there. So it says, Hashem says, it has to be, you know, and in fact, the Mefarshim explained another interesting thing. Why does this mitzvah come right after the Dinei Bechor? So Hashem said, just like there's a mitzvah Bechor, Hashem says, Nisan is the Bechor of the months. Nisan is the firstborn of the months. So Hashem says, right after the mitzvah Bechor, Hashem says, now you should know, Shamer Chodesh Aviv. Okay? Even though the Yom Teva were mentioned already in Parshas Emor, but the Yom Teva might mention again. That's why this Kriya, by the way, we read, and all the Chagim, this Parsha called Bechor over here. Okay, now Hashem told him now what does it mean if the tefillah wasn't ripened yet, Beis Din would make a leap year. If the tekufa, whatever, was a bunch of, now another thing, there's a Rashi in the beginning of Ayesha. Rashi says, when Yosef was having his dreams and the brothers hated him, you know, about the moon, everybody bowing to him. So the Pasuk says right before Sheni, Va'aviv Shamar Asadavar. His father guarded it. And Rashi said, what does it mean, Shamar? He was waiting anxiously for it to happen. Himtin, Rashi says. Himtin u metzape. He was waiting, when is it going to happen? So the commentaries explain, what does it mean here, Shamar as Chedesh Aviv? Should always be anticipating Pesach, not the cleaning. the carbon of Pesach. The carbon Pesach. Hamtana that we should, you know, eagerly want. This carbon Pesach. What does it mean over here when it says Vasisa Pesach Lashem Alekecha? You should make a Pesach Tashem. Of course, it says like this: when you eat the carbon Pesach, you shouldn't eat it because you're hungry and you want it fresh. You should eat it because it's a mitzvah to eat it. That's why the carbon Pesach was not eaten as the main meal. The carbon in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. The Jews brought every Yom Tov a Korban Chagiga. In addition to that, they brought the Korban Pesach and Pesach. The meal was eaten with the Korban Chagiga. The Korban the animal. For dessert, what we eat, Dafi Koyman, that's the Korban Pesach that they eat. So they didn't eat it because they were hungry. In fact, the Gemara says, HaPesach Noichal Al HaSoiva. When you're full, that's when you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach. Why? Because that's what the Pasuk says, Pesach LaShem Elokecha. It should be noticeably that you're doing it because of Hashem, not because you're hungry. If you're eating because you're hungry, you're doing it for yourself. Here what the Pasuk says, Vasitza Pesach LaShem Elokecha, you should do it for the sake of Hashem. Okay,
you could eat any amount.
What do you mean, any amount? They have to finish it, and they have to figure out how many people. They have to have kazayas. Kazayas at least, yeah. That's why, l'mashul l'havdil, the Muslims, l'mashul, that have the lunar calendar, but they don't have the leap year, so their Ramadan is sometimes in the summer, sometimes in the winter, sometimes in the spring, sometimes in the fall, because it's not based on the solar calendar.
With all their other holidays.
Yeah, they're always holidaying, but but in Teda it has to be synced. The Pesach always has to be in the spring. In fact, there's Bechal, an interesting concept. In the lunar calendar, there is no Shana. The lunar calendar is not a year. It's months. It's not a year. For instance, the law of Avelut, the law of mourning, is 12 months. It's not a year. In a leap year, where there's 13 months, the last month there's no mourning. It's finished. The Avelut is over. There's no concept of year in the lunar calendar, only in the solar calendar. And that's why the solar year is called Shana, and the lunar calendar is called Chodesh. Yeah. What is the meaning of Shana and Chodesh? Simply means year and month. But that's not what it really means. In Hebrew, Shana means to repeat. Right? Although in Hebrew, Shana means to repeat. Repeat. Chodesh comes from the word Chidush. Okay?
Yeah.
So, the moon is never the same. Born, big, 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 small, 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 big, big, never stay still. It's always a chiddush. Shana is repeating. The sun always comes up in the same, every year, whatever, July 5th, every year July 5th is going to be the same sunrise and same sundown. It never changes. The sun comes up every morning, sets every night. There's no change in the sun. So in Avedas Hashem, it says, and this when you have a leap year, you have Chodesh and Shana together because it catches it up. What's the Aveda of a Jew, Shana? In fact, it says like this. In Davening we say, Temidim kisidram umusafim kihilchasim. We say the Musaf, yeah? Temidim kisidram, the carbon tamid, as its order, umusafim, and the additional carbon, we bring Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, kihilchasin, you should do it like the halacha. That's the simple meaning of the tefillah. The regular kabbanis, temidim kisidran, in the proper order, umusafim, and to do the carbon musaf, kihilchasin, like the halacha. But it says in Sfarim like this, tamid means continuously the same. Okay? So, Tamidim means the Aveda of a Jew. Every day we need to do the same Aveda. You need to daven, to learn, to do. Every day the same Aveda. That's Kisidron, in the Seder, the order, on a daily basis. But there also has to be new things. It's not enough just to do the same old, same old. You know, you ask somebody, S-O-S-O, I mean, how are you? S-O-S-O, same old, same old. Or, people don't know this, but when they meet somebody and see everything, especially women do this. Oh, you haven't seen him for 5 years. You haven't changed a bit. You haven't, it's supposed to be a compliment. But in Torah, it's an insult. What do you mean you didn't change? You're supposed to become much better. You didn't change a bit, does it?
Talking about the looks, Rabbi Shusama, we're not talking about the...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Ugh. What would I do without her? I wouldn't. There is the Aveda of Tamid, that has to be kesidon. You know, there has to be the avodah of shana, repeating and doing the same thing. You can't say, okay, yesterday I davened, I don't have to daven today. But there's also umusafim hosafa, which is chidush, that has to be kehil chasan, from the word halicha. Halicha means going from level to level. So that's what the two types of months represent. The year represents the same aveda over and over, which needs to be done. And chodesh represents the concept of chidush, of constantly doing something new. And this is the source of it from these few psukim. This pasuk, shamer chayda, believe it or not, it's one little pasuk, but this is the whole source in the Gemara about having Abiyus who is given the halacha Meshem Sinai. But where is the source in Chumash? By the Torah saying you need to guard Chodesh Aviv, Vasisa Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha. You need to do it, and it says, because in the month of, in the spring, Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim at night. Okay? V'zavachta Pesach, by the way, it also learns from here that when it comes to mitzvahs, you need to be excited about a mitzvah. You know, to be excited about doing a mitzvah. It's the Rebbe Yitzchak of Adichev, when it came the first night of Sukkot, he was up a whole night. Why? He was eagerly anticipating, when is the day going to come? It's going to be light. He'll be able right away to do the mitzvah of lulav. The last night of Yom Tov was over, you know, Chol Moed, he didn't put on tefillin. He didn't put on tefillin for 8 days, 7 days, whatever it was, 9 days. He would wait up the whole Is Matzor Yom Tov. He would wait up for the first opportunity to be able to put on tefillin. And the commentators explain, that's the concept of the Shomer des Chodesh Sha'aviv. You have to look out for it, to be excited about it, and wait for it, and want it, you know. Okay. V'zavach te Pesach l'Hashem l'kecha. You have to bring the slaughter the korban Pesach to Hashem. Tzeinu v'akar, from the flock. Sheyivcha Hashem, b'mokim Sheyivcha Hashem, from the place that Hashem chose. L'shakin shmei sham. Okay? Now, the korban Pesach, by the way, was from the kvasim or izim, from sheep or goats. What does it mean, bakar? So Rashi says right away, bakar doesn't mean the korban Pesach. Bakar means the korban chagiga. It has to be the korban chagiga. Because the korban Pesach was only from a sheep or a lamb. It couldn't come from bakar's cattle, like an ox or whatever other animal it is. So that couldn't be. It has to be bakar from the korban chagiga. Okay. Now, leisechel olav chametz. You're not allowed to eat chametz together with the korban Pesach. And from here, the Gemara learns out a very interesting halacha. When is chametz forbidden to be eaten? On Pesach. Shivas yomim. Right? So early, shivas yomim techel matzis, liochel chametz, kol shivas yomim. But from this pasuk, we learn out that from the time the korban Pesach is to be brought, the Torah says leisechel olav chametz. You cannot eat chametz. The Gemara learns doesn't mean when you bring the korban Pesach you can't eat chametz. What it means is from the time that you can't, when that you have to bring the Paschal lamb, the korban Pesach, from then on you're not allowed to eat chametz. So from here the Gemara learns, by the way, it's forbidden to eat chametz from midday. Out of Pesach already. Because midday is when you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? The Torah says 7 days, you're not allowed to eat chametz, and here it says another half a day. So the Gemara learns out the difference is like this. By 7 days, the Torah says, if you eat chametz, the punishment is karis. You get killed. Hashem kills you early. If you eat it out of Pesach, that afternoon, you only get whipped. You don't get kodesh because the Torah speaks about kodesh only by the 7 days, meaning starting from at night. But the Chachamim even added you know, 2 hours for eating, 1 hour for benefit. Like this, so you have the time you can eat chametz, and an hour later, the time for not benefiting from the chametz. That's the chachamim added. But biblically, it's from either 12 o'clock, approximately 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, depending if you change the clock or not. It's forbidden to eat chametz. But you don't get punished, or you get whipped, but you don't get death for eating chametz on Erev Pesach. But it's a very interesting halacha. We were discussing this the other week at the Gemara Shir. If somebody takes a loaf of bread, you know, you don't have to do kedushin only with a ring. You could do it with anything worth a pruta, right? Somebody gives, a man gives the siddur to a woman in front of two witnesses and says, "Areyat mukadashasli besiddur zu kadas meishav Yisrael." She accepts the siddur, the kedushin is valid. It could be anything. What happens if somebody on Pesach takes a loaf of bread, the middle of Pesach, takes a loaf of bread and gives it to the woman and says, "Ariat mukadashasli belechem zu." So the din is not a good kedushin. Why not? Because Pesach, chametz, is forbidden to benefit from. Something you cannot benefit from is not yours. It's valueless. It's worthless. So if I give a woman a loaf of bread on Pesach, I didn't give her anything. So it's not a valid kedushin. Kedushin has to be valuable. At least a pruta.
And it has to belong to the man, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's more than that. It's not only also bano, it's ein shalei. It's ein shalei and it's also bano. It's valueless. You're not giving her anything. What happens, by the way, after, now let's say 1 o'clock already, chametz is biblically forbidden. Okay, let's say 1 o'clock it's chatzis. Now, the chum said, already from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, you also can't benefit from chametz. Right? Rabbis say it's not yours anymore. You can't benefit from it. By the way, just to clarify this, the definition of ownership is the ability to benefit. If you don't benefit, if you can't benefit, it's not yours. That's the halacha in Torah. So what happens, let's say, 1 o'clock, biblically, you can't eat chametz, and it's not yours. What happens, 12:30, when it's biblically allowed, but the rabbi said you can't benefit from it, a guy at 12:30 comes with a loaf of bread to a woman, and says, "Ariat mukadashasli belechem zu kadas meishav Yisrael." So the Gemara said, it's not a valid kedushin. So the Gemara asks, 1 minute, biblically, it's still worth something. Until 1 o'clock, it's valuable. That means biblically, this woman became a married woman. Right? The rabbis say it's worthless. But so what? Biblically, it's still worth something. Why isn't it a good kedushin? The Gemara asks the question. And the Gemara answers, because kol ha-mekadesh adaita d'rabbanan mekadesh. When a guy does kedushin, he does it with the intent the way the rabbis want it to be done. And because the rabbi said the bread is worthless, it's it. It's not his. It's not a good kedushin. That's why, it's one of the many reasons, by the way. You know, when they say, "Areat mekadeshasli betabazu," they always add, "Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael." Why don't you just say, "Areat mekadeshasli betabazu," period? Why does he have to say, "Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael"? Like the laws of Moshe in Israel. Like why? Because Gemara says, because when a person has kedushin, it's in mind with the way that Chachamim want it to be done. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael means the way the rabbis want it to be done. And therefore, if you do anything against the way the rabbis want it to be done, it's invalid. No, but that's the power. It says, "Lisei Cholol of Chamit." Now, the only exception to this, by the way, is Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, you know, if you miss the first Pesach, you have it, you dalit e, you can bring a carbon Pesach Sheni. And over there, the Torah says you can have chametz in the house. Pesach Sheni, you can bring the Paschal lamb with chametz in the house. So why, what's the difference between the first Pesach and the second Pesach? So it says like this. And we're going to see also, ki b'chipaz and pasuk soon going to say also. When the Jews left Egypt, They were this newborn nation, you know. And when a person is addicted to evil, you can't just gradually walk away from it. You need to do it cold turkey. Because it doesn't work. You need to be an extremist. Like, a guy who's trying to give up smoking can't hang around a room where people are smoking. Because it can cause him to go back to what he was doing. He has to disassociate himself from any cigarettes, anywhere, whatever. So it says when the Jews left Egypt, they were not on a very lofty level. They didn't have Sefirah Sa'imi yet, they didn't have... So therefore, Chametz gets in the way. Chametz gets in the way. Therefore, the Torah says, when you're bringing the Korban Pesach, over there, by the first Pesach, Chametz gets in the way. Because you're still connected to evil. If you have any connection to evil, if you're going to be eating Chametz, it's going to get you bad. Pesach Sheni, which is the level of tshuva. When the Jews are Bali tshuva, the power of tshuva is so great that you can have chametz in the house and it won't affect the Korban Pesach. Because the person is a much stronger person and therefore chametz can't get in the way. So by the first Pesach, the Torah says, Leisechol olav chametz, you can't eat chametz with it. Shivas yamim teichol olav matzis lechem eini. And the pasuk continues, you should eat matzahs for 7 days. Lechem eini, the bread of affliction. Why? Because with haste, yatzasa me'aretz Mitzrayim, you left Egypt. Remember the day of going out of Egypt, all the days of your life. Okay, we're not going to have time to even begin this part of the pasuk. Basically like this. The Torah says, the Jews, we'll just finish with this point, because the rest of the pasuk is going to take a while. The Jews ran out of Egypt, b'chipazim, with haste. When Mashiach comes, the pasuk says, kileg b'chipazim teitzel, you're not going to go out rushed. If the Jews are going to go out of Golis slowly, peacefully, not rushed. Why by Egypt was this chipazin yatzasim eretz Mitzrayim? And when Mashiach comes, it says va'atem teluk to echad echad. Mashiach is going to take every Jew by the hand, the pasuk says, and take him out of Egypt. By Egypt,
not from
America. 4/5, huh?
Not from America.
Yeah, from America also. 4/5 of the Jews died in Egypt. Mashiach comes. No Jew will be left behind. That's what the Medrash says. No Jew will be left behind. Every Jew is going out of Golus. What's the difference between that and now? Pesach in Mitzrayim was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, and this explains this part, we're just beginning now and then we'll leave it for next week. Before Matan Torah, before God chose us, Ata v'chatonu mikolo amim, ubanu b'charta mikol am v'loshin, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, was at Matan Torah. When did God choose the Jews? By Matan Torah. Before the Torah was given, the relationship between a Jew and God was dependent on behavior. You behaved, you were a Jew, you didn't behave, you weren't. You behaved, you had a connection, you didn't behave, you didn't have a connection. Therefore, in Mitzrayim, all the Jews that did not have a connection, they didn't want to go out. Hashem says, fine. It's based on behavior. You don't want to? Goodbye. Die in Egypt and they're buried in Egypt. Because of that, they had to run out of Egypt. After Matan Torah, not the first Pesach Sheni, but I'm saying, after Matan Torah, the relationship between Hashem and the Jew, God chose us just because we're a Jew. Nothing else. It's not dependent anymore on behavior. Matan Torah made Bonim Atam Lashem Elokeichem. We're God's children. A child is not dependent on behavior. I grew up many times. Friends, spouses are dependent on behavior. Children is an essential bond. So when that essential bond happens, everybody's going out. There's no problem. Okay. We can